What's going on, everyone? It's Isis Daniel, also known as the Millennial Psalm, and we are here for another Tasty Thursday. And y'all, I'm really excited because we got my guy, Vince, from V is for Vino. Do not get it twisted, okay? And I'm really excited to have him on. We connected on TikTok like years ago. Back when I was just on the rise on that platform. But, you know, this is a guy who's in this wine industry doing his thug thizzle. We love to see it traveling the world. I mean, come on, visiting all these wonderful wine regions. And of course, we're going to get more into that. But this particular episode is actually one of my throwbacks, which I already told y'all I was going to. Now, when I went to France, I had all these plans to continue on doing my live tastings, continue on doing interviews on my podcast, continue on doing a whole lot of content. I mean, I had plans. But if you guys remember, and if you don't, if you're new to the platform, what's going on? How you doing? Welcome to the club. But back when I was in France for school, honestly, the technology was not working for me. I wasn't able to upload anything. I was having a hard time editing. Even my computer was just giving me a hard way to go when it comes to saving files and all of it. So I want to reiterate that we will be having some of my old interviews from last year, 2023, featured on this podcast because I had dynamic conversations that I always planned to share. I just didn't have the means, okay? Now that I'm back home, I'm ready to show y'all and share with you a lot of these gems. Now today, we are talking about wine and entrepreneurship, something that I'm very familiar with. Why? Because I am a whole entrepreneur out here doing my best. And honestly, what I enjoyed most about this conversation that we're getting ready to get into is the honesty of the struggle, okay? Being an entrepreneur has a lot of ups and downs, a lot of struggle. And even though, especially, I'll say this, if you are someone who is starting from the mud, all right, you out here giving it your best shot, doing it on your own, there are a lot of pockets within this journey that you have to learn, right? And so I want to encourage anyone who is an aspiring entrepreneur or someone who is in the thick of it, especially those who are within the first 5 years of their entrepreneur journey, to encourage you to know you are not by yourself and we are all out here thugging it out and giving it our best shot and throwing spaghetti against the walls until something sticks. But what I love most about our conversation is that we are honest about the ups and downs, but we also talk about our passion. And when you have passion, when you have purpose, that is the thing that keeps you going when this entrepreneurial journey gets tough. So I'm excited to, you know, talk to Vincent about his journey, to talk to him about some advice to anyone who is up and coming in these social media streets, whether you're in wine or any other supporting industry. This is the podcast for you. All right. Now, it's important to say this. I definitely have had my share of ups and downs in my wine journey. Even right now, I'm in a very weird spot. And you guys, you know, in the words of my girl online, I can't remember her name right now, but she was like, I'm authentic, but I'm not always transparent because, you know, we got to know how to mind our business. Y'all, I'm gonna have to get her on the podcast and talk about that because there is a fine line. But I also think in the spirit of support and in the spirit of encouraging other people to follow their dreams, it's also important to have a little bit of transparency, obviously a balance, protect your peace, protect your space. Not everything needs to be shared as we are now learning as a byproduct of social media. But I want to share a little bit about what I'm going through, right? And honestly, when you are an entrepreneur, there's trial and error. And a lot of times in the very beginning, especially when you are on your own and you don't really have a cushion, you make mistakes and you have to adapt. France was not a mistake. It's actually, I'm very grateful that I went, but there were definitely lessons that I had to learn. And since I've been home, there's been a little bit of a struggle. You guys know I try to be as open with you as possible, but let me be very clear. Although there is a struggle and I'm still trying to figure out a lot, okay, I will say that I am definitely focused on my goals. when I went to France, I was embracing this concept of wine and culture. I was moving forward in my wine culture case study, trying to start. And it was actually out there where I learned that culture is such a dense topic, and I can't just attack it about wine culture if I don't understand what culture is. Because again, as we said in, I believe, the last episode of Tasting Thursday, which is culture has a definition and then it has its interpretations. And unfortunately, we mix the interpretation and confuse it for the actual definition. So now I'm going on a whole new journey. Something I didn't anticipate. I'm trying to get things in order that kind of got out of whack while I was in France. And although there's a lot of chaos around me, I feel confident in moving forward. I feel confident in my mission. And I know that my tribe will follow me, will find me. And I also know that if I stay the course, everything is going to level out. And so I want to encourage anyone who is kind of feeling out of place, you know what your mission is, you still believe in your dream, it's just not working out, or you're having a hard way to go left and right. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Do not give up. We need your voice. We need your point of view. We need your gadget, your technology, your ideas, whatever it is, we need it. So believe in yourself, keep pushing, and just know, at the very least, I believe in you. I might not know who you are, you know, but I believe in dreams. And without vision, people perish. And it's important, you know, that's a very, very, it's a scripture, but it is something that I hold dear to my heart. I believe the world is out to take our dreams and to make us all alike and to keep people who are forward movers or forward thinkers or trendsetters or innovators to be standard. Don't be. No matter how difficult it is, no matter the solutions not being in front of you or whatever the case may be, the answer is there. All you have to do, most likely, is change your perspective or keep the course and find it. So with all that, I hope that you are encouraged. But let's go ahead and get into this jingle so that we can learn a little bit about Vincent and get into this conversation. So let's go. If you know the song, you better sing along. Tasting Thursday. Giddy. Tasting Thursday. With your girl, the millennial Psalm. I am she is me, and we are here for another Tasting Thursday. Let's get into it. Vince is a certified sommelier and founder of V is for Vino. While pursuing a rock and roll career as a guitarist and vocalist, he fell in love with wine while working at the bars and upscale restaurants that paid the bills. As he pursued further wine knowledge, he realized there was no place for the average Joe to learn about wine casually. And thus, V is for Vino was born. Vince's passion for wine stems from his desire to pass his knowledge on to others. He believes wine education should be accessible to all and easy to comprehend. Can we give it up, okay, for wine education, aka infotainment? How you doing, Vince?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be here. Yeah. Are you going to sing? You always sing at the beginning of these. Yeah, just another little intro.
Okay, so this is not Tasting Thursday because this is
I know, but
on
that's
Tuesdays.
My favorite.
But all right. Let me see. And you know, I got the y'all, we've just before we came on here, I was telling him how tired I am. I sound like a man. But okay, let's see if I can like do it. Woo. Me. Tasting Thursday. Giddy. Tasting Thursday. With your girl, the millennial Psalm. I am she is me, and we are here for another Tasting Thursday. Okay, so yeah. It was a little low.
I won't ask you to do anything else. That was just, it makes me so happy.
You like to hear me say, actually, wait a second, because, you have a music background, so tell the people about your music background before we jump all the way into wine and entrepreneurship and all the deeds.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be a rock star. That was the initial goal. Wanted to rock and roll in Los Angeles. So I went out to LA after I graduated college with one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. We played, singer-songwriter, kind of rock blues. We played all the big venues. We played the you know, got to play the Troubadour, you know, same stage as Guns N' Roses. We got to play all that stuff on the Sunset Strip. It was fun. But, you know, I realized at one point that I was good, not great at music. Ooh. I mean, I'm not bad. I'm not bad. But you have to, if you want to make it in the music industry, you have to be amazing as a prerequisite. And then you also have to get really lucky and have no other options.
Is that like, true,
the
though?
People, huh?
Okay, I have to interrupt because I don't think that's a true statement.
What, that you have to be talented?
Well, I mean, well, you definitely don't have to be talented. He's going to put that where it belongs. But you, when you said that, you know who I thought about? The Beatles. When you talk to people in the industry, they all say that the Beatles were trash. And they were really? Surprised that they made
that
it.
That was the band.
You kind of have to have, I think that you have to have just like a certain it factor, and I think that some people have that gift and some people don't. It's not that you're not talented, it's not that you don't deserve to be in the space, but sometimes it's just not your calling.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that I learned is that anyone who makes it in music kind of doesn't see another path in their life. They're talk like, I'm gonna it. Play music or I'm gonna be homeless. And for me, you know, and for me, I kind of went in this, I got to this point where I was just like, I'm good at this, but I could also see myself doing other things. At this point, I had had the idea for Via Cervino. I always liked business and entrepreneurship. And so I had some other ideas. So I was like, I just don't think I'm going to stick through it to the point where I'll make it, you know?
Okay. So then let's backtrack, because I had a similar story, which I think is, whenever we talk about this, I always think it's funny because it's very similar. I had a band. Now, I wasn't doing all the performances you were doing. Okay. I was backyard figuring it out, making venues and doing stuff. Shout out to First Wonder, woo, 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 right? But I had this epiphany that it just wasn't working, and I think I actually went into like a depression, you know, just like you said, like, if I'm not singing, what am I doing? That's all I am. And wine,
your whole identity, yeah,
you know what I mean. But wine found me, and it gave me a new perspective of life. It gave me a new avenue. And now it's very interesting that my life of two loves of music and wine are starting to collide. But what was that journey to wine for you after, you know, you were in the music industry?
Yeah, well, that's funny you say that. I go by this expression, good will be good. And I remember when I was going for the music, and I would push so hard. I'd beg people to come to the shows, beg people to listen to the music, and it just wasn't hitting. And then I got into what I'm doing now with Via Cervino in the show, and I didn't have to do that at all. People loved it. They shared it. And if something's good, it will be good. It will find its own legs. And so what happened was I was same thing as you. My whole identity was music. I grew up captain of my drum line. I was in the show choir. Like, my whole identity was music. And so then when I realized that I'm not going to be able to do this my whole life, it was kind of a blow. At the time, I was working in bars and restaurants in LA, and I had a little bit of fascination with wine. I'd spent some time in Europe in college, and I said, all right, maybe I'll start getting into it. And luckily, I had a great mentor that pushed me to take the sommelier exam. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and it was fine for me because I was in the industry, but it's a terrible experience if you're just an average consumer who wants to know more about wine.
Come on.
Like, if you just want to learn wine for fun, you don't want to pay $500 and go take a formal class and study flashcards. You want to just learn about it. And I found that there were no resources, especially at the time. Now there's some more people, you know, a lot of people on social talking about wine. But at the time, there really wasn't much.
Right.
And I had this idea, and I said, all right, maybe I can combine my love of, you know, performing and kind of being in front of a camera and education. I'd always been a teacher. When I did music, I would teach drum lessons. That was my first job. I started a little entrepreneurial business. I taught drum lessons as a high schooler to the younger kids. So I said, all right, I can combine my entrepreneurship, my love for wine, my love for education, that ability to have that creative side, which is the show. I put it all together, and we bootstrapped a season of our wine TV show. It's basically a wine education TV show. And this was back in 2016.
You know, oh man, I have to remember. I want you to talk about your wine TV show, of course. I want you to break it down for the people who are not familiar. But I also want to make sure that we discuss, when we talk about the wine industry, there's an image of what it means to be in this industry. You know, you are either working fine dining, you are a teacher, you know, you work within a winery, but we don't actually highlight that the wine industry is very unique because you can bring your past life to your present in the most unique ways possible. You know, when we talk, we met on TikTok. Let's make sure we point out that, right?
Yeah.
And when I saw your content online, I was fascinated. First of all, it just looks so crisp, clean, and professional. I was like, come on, dude, teach. I love it. Let's go. But even for me, you know, having background in singing and also in acting and writing scripts, I was able to bring myself to the wine industry. And I think that's why it hits so well, right? So talk to me about your show and also how you were able to incorporate your past life within the wine.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a cool kids club of wine, and there's people who want to keep it that. I still get a little bit of that. I still get a, you know, why aren't you wearing a suit, or why aren't you, you know. I remember when I started the show, I was going to collaborate with somebody. This was a person who was a som in L.A., and I won't name names, but, you know, I remember we had that first meeting.
She's on the playground. Stay the name. Says, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. You don't have to say it.
She basically came out, and at the meeting, she said, well, I've never heard of you. Like, who are you? Like, I've never heard of you. Like, I'm not in those circles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I took that and really internalized it. I was like, man, by the end of this, you're going to know who I am. I promise.
Period.
I just got into that mode of like, all right, I'm going to build something. And I never want to build, you know, anything by tearing other people down. I want to build it by building the biggest thing. And so I gotten in this mentality of, I am going to be so resilient. I am not going to stop. Some of the best entrepreneurial advice I got was, you know, there's going to have to be someone in your company who's going to refuse to let it fail. And if you're the owner or you're the face of it, it's probably going to have to be you.
Okay.
And so I got into this. Basically what happened was I started the process of making the show. I was still bartending, still behind, you know, working as a som sometimes. And I bootstrapped the whole first season. I wanted to make what I call the Bourdain meets Alton Brown of wine. I wanted a TV show that had the travel component, the food component, the cultural component, the people all mixed together, because that's what wine is. And I decided that if I can, you know, where are my challenges going to be with that? At the beginning, it was funding. So I learned, okay, I'm going to have to do a lot of this on my own because I can't pay anybody to learn how to video edit or, you know, to edit my video. So I learned how to do that. I can't, you know, pay a ton of money for marketing and distribution. So I'm going to have to learn how to do that too. So I kind of took on this mentality of, I'm going to make this TV show. I'm going to do everything myself. And now we have some resources we can lean on. But at the beginning, it was just all me. You had a question, and I think I deviated from it. Tell me again.
You did deviate, but I still appreciate it. Because, you know, when we talk about being an entrepreneur, especially when you are entering into that world, we don't always have the resources. And I also feel being, you know, in music, we have learned to hustle. Even if we didn't, and I'll speak for myself, whenever I look at my past, I often think in comparing my past life to my current one, I always say, I wish I had gone harder. So now that I'm in the wine industry, there is no obstacle that I'm not trying to, you know, knock down. And that's what I'm receiving from you. You're like, all right, well, I'm doing this. So I need to figure out what I need to do to make it work. So what advice would you give to someone who, you know, really you can just keep it about entrepreneurship, but if you want to tie in to someone who is trying to enter into the wine world in a unique way, what advice would you give them if they don't have the funding, but they have the dream?
Yeah, just start going. It sounds like such a, you know, dumb cliche advice, but I mean, just start doing and you'll figure everything else out along the way. I remember when I started my show, I didn't have the answers. So I went and I hired a business consultant to help me. I was like, he can help me have a roadmap for this, right? And I am very like type A person, like everything planned out. I wanted a roadmap of how everything was going to look and where the success was going to go. And this guy basically charged me, you know, at the time was a lot of money. I think I probably paid him like $500 for a couple hours of time, which at the time I was a, you know, poor bartender. That
trying
was a lot
to
of money.
A dream come true.
Yeah. That was a lot of money. And he basically went through the whole process and he was just like, well, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you possibly make enough money to sustain the show and to make this happen. My initial plan was to maybe sell wine and have the wine sales fund the show. And it just didn't pan out. But basically, I paid a whole bunch of money for somebody to tell me they don't know what to do. I just started going anyway. I said, I'm just going to figure it out. I went. I've changed the way we monetize and the way I produce content a dozen times, and it'll probably change a dozen times more in the long term. And so anybody who's like not going to get into it because they're like, I don't know how I make money doing this. I don't know the path that leads to success. Don't even think about that. Just start doing it and figure the rest out along the way.
And you have to be cautious. Of course, we're not out here just trying to be broke, sleeping in our cars if we can help it, right? But I do agree with you 100%. You know, my whole entire perception of who I am within this industry and showing up in social media has changed over the last 3 years. You know, 2020, I was out here doing Tasting Thursday, singing and tasting wine and having a great time, right? But then when you have to be able to sustain yourself. And so you have to be willing to test certain things. And sometimes there are business models out there that are proven to work, but they clash with who you are. And mm-hmm. The truth is, it's okay if that happens. That just means that that might not be the method for you. But it's trial and error, right? Being in a creative space where you are an entrepreneur and trying to form a new area of expertise within the wine industry or whatever industry that you're in, you have to be comfortable with not knowing and you have to be comfortable with failing. So I would love, let's see how open you really trying to get, okay? Mr. V, you know. I want to know, what was a big fail that you are super grateful for in your journey as an entrepreneur?
Oh, man, so many. There are. I mean, that's it. You really have to keep throwing enough against the wall. One of the biggest ones was I tried twice to hire a PR company to help assist in promoting the show. Mm-hmm. I should have learned my lesson the first time because I wasted a ton of money. I'm talking like, you know, again, like I probably wasted. I hired this guy to do PR for me. I got almost no results out of it. It probably cost me like $5,000. Okay. And then I said, all right, a couple of years later, I had a little more money to throw at it. And I stupidly thought I didn't put enough money into it the first time. I didn't hire a good enough person. I didn't give it enough. So I hired somebody again. I spent even more money and that went down the drain. I'm so embarrassed of it when I think of it, but man, like what a lesson now to one, like there's
what's
no
the lesson?
Amount of
what's the, what did you
couple
learn?
Things. You know, vet your, especially your large purchases, the people you're going to work with. But number two, there's no amount of money that's going to be a magic bullet to take you to the next level. Mm-hmm. There really isn't. Unless, I mean, if you had some, you know, never ending well, and you could really push, you know, I don't know, $1 million of social media. Yeah, sure. You're going to change it. But for everybody else, you're going to have to go the long and hard way. That's the only way to do it. I'm still, you know, we're at a point now where we're pretty comfortable, but I'm still growing the old fashioned way, like sending cold calling, cold emails, you know, the straight up, you know, grind, hustle, all those cliches. That's still the way to move forward. I mean, do you find the same thing?
Absolutely. I find the same thing. I talk to people all the time, especially people who are within social media. They come to me and they ask for advice, and everyone wants this quick fame or, oh, I'm ready to have this amount of followers. And it's just like, okay, first of all, let's slow down and ask yourself, why are you here? Are you here because you want to be popular? Or are you here to actually solve for X, like whatever that may be for you? And understand that just as you are waiting for people to discover you, you're most likely on a journey of discovering yourself. And if you are trying to do this fast track thing, you're going to miss out on learning valuable lessons for who you are as a person, who you are as a business owner, who you are as an entrepreneur, everything, right? And so for me, I found that taking your time and creating content that matters to you, you will attract your support. You will attract actual people who have money who will support you because they see the grind. They see they see how passionate you are about it, but also how diligent you are. Being able to work hard for what you do and what you love, it counts. But unfortunately, you know, living in the world of social media and where everything is just so fast paced and so immediate, we've lost the art of the grind, I guess.
I mean, time in the market is better than timing the market. And this is true in everything in life. I mean, if you're not going to jump in on your idea, like, don't even look up for 5 years. Ugh. There was times in that first 5 year period where I was like, I was so down. I mean, I thank God I had a really good support system and my parents and my wife to tell me to keep going, because there were times where I was like, I cannot figure this out. I can't figure out how to make money with this. I can't figure out how to make the next episode. You know, so you really just have to persevere and say, I'm not going to give up for this amount of time. And like I said, 5 years is a good window. And if you're not seeing, then you can say, all right, am I making progress? Not am I there at five years, but is it moving forward every day? And are we still growing? Every day I'm still growing, I'm cool. If I stopped expanding what we're doing, if I stopped being able to like build this and keep building up, well, then I'm like, all right, do I need to change something? But yeah, don't even look up. Just, you really have to go for the long term.
And if you're frustrated to a certain degree, obviously, you do need to be realistic. Sometimes we are beating a dead horse, and other times it's just the grind and we get discouraged because it's not easy. So it's up to you. Do what you need to do. Meditate, pray, whatever you got to do to figure out which category you fall in. But from my experience, you know, I look back on all the times I cried, all the times I was frustrated because I felt like I was working so hard for something, and although I was seeing return, I still wasn't getting the desired results, right? If you feel that frustration, that's a good thing. That means that you have the inspiration to keep going. You have a vision. Just because the vision isn't easy doesn't mean it's not worth going for. It doesn't mean that when you cry that you are weak. It means that, hey, I care. Take a break if you need to take a break. Go harder if you need to go harder, but trust the journey and know that if you are consistent and you believe in what you're doing and you are trying to get creative in ways, okay, because we are trying to make some money now. We're not just saying work hard and don't get a penny, because child, we can't do that. But again, just keep going and eventually you'll have a breakthrough. I actually have a quick little story and I want to ask you yours, right? So for over the last 3 years, especially really the last two, once everything happened with 40 Under 40 Wine Enthusiasts, which I was so grateful to become a tastemaker, right? But it was as if immediately things started happening for me. Things that you want to happen, but I still was in this journey of figuring out who I was and what my voice was, right? And it wasn't until, y'all, Vincent, it wasn't until a couple months ago where I finally realized who I was in this space. I want to know in your journey, that moment when you had your vision, you knew what you were working towards, but the moment where you said, this is where I am and I actually feel comfortable and I'm going to this spot. Let me know if I'm not making sense.
No, you make sense. I can point you to an exact moment that is in one of our episodes. Mm-hmm. You'll see it if you watch the Ensenada, Mexico episode. I'm in the last scene. I'm at this dinner and I'm toasting with the winemakers there, and you see me kind of tear up and choke up. Yeah. And it's that moment, because I remember being in that moment and I was like, oh my gosh, I am doing what I set out to do when I started this company, and I can't believe it. And it was, you know, that was probably 5 years in. And I just was like, oh, I haven't made it. I have a lot more I want to do, but I'm actually producing a product that's bringing value to people. I'm working on it full time. I'm, you know, getting to travel the world and meet amazing people and share stories. I really got to that moment where I was like, oh, I'm doing what I want to do. And now all I have to do, I know the formula. Yeah. Now I just have to keep executing, you know?
Yes. And that took 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm saying that again because you have to figure out what you want. And the only way to do that is to continue figuring it out. And that epiphany, that moment. So for me, last year when I went to Blue Note Jazz Fest, so this is 2022, I remember being at the very front on the VIP side. Woo woo. Come on, VIP. Hey. And Snoop Dogg was on stage. And I just remember this feeling of my passion, my calling, my love has always been music and wine. And this was the first time as an African-American woman where I'm in Napa having a black ass experience. Okay, just let's just be honest about it. And I remember connecting with people and having so much fun and encouraging people. And at the time I was also on tour with Lacrima from Jackson Family Wines and doing their tour and connecting with people. And I said, oh my gosh, how did I miss this? I guess maybe it was the pandemic and we were all so isolated. I was in my own world. I didn't even know until the pandemic that I was an introvert. So I was thriving. Okay. Everybody else, mama was going crazy. Best friend was going crazy. I was chilling. But in that space, I remember saying to myself, it's important that the work that I do is to connect with people, to encourage people, to love on people. And I do that organically through music and wine. And from that space, a year later now, I mean, I can't tell y'all all my business, but y'all gonna find out soon. But now we are moving forward with a new dream that is still the same. As you said, 5 years later, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what I was hoping for. I just didn't know it was going to look like this.
I also think realizing your why, you know, people say the why you do something, and you may think you know what it is when you start, but I think it changes. And it sounds like for you, it was that moment where you said, okay, I'm connecting people and I'm, you know, and having experience here when it was in Napa, bringing people together with wine and music. You know, for me, I started because I wanted to educate. I didn't start a show. I wanted to start a wine club that happened to have video. And then the videos started to take off. Selling the wine was a logistical nightmare. So I dropped that portion of it.
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. We've talked about it a bit, but basically it's very, very challenging to sell wine in the States because of wholesalers who get in the way of that. But anyway, I abandoned that. And then over the last few years, what I've realized is that the reason I do it is because it is amazing to have people reach out and say, oh, I tried this new wine, or I'm going to this place, or I'm exploring these things because I saw you do it and you encouraged me to do it. Like, if I can change hearts a little bit and attitudes, and I can get people out of their bubble, that is such a drive for me. And so all the times I'm sitting in an editing bay for 8 hours at a time, putting together these videos, I try and
plucking
keep that in mind.
Plucking your hair out one strand at a time.
We get, my product cycle is long. I start an episode probably a year to a year and a half before it releases. Woo. So sometimes I get really in the weeds on it. And I'm working at multiple episodes at the same time, but like, I'll go a couple months without a release. So it's a couple months without, you know, direct feedback. And so I always got to keep that why in mind. So find that reason you do something and you know, keep it close.
So you just released a new episode. So talk to us about that and tell us what we can view and support.
Yeah. Yeah. We released Southern Rhone just a few weeks ago, very iconic wine region south of France. Focused a lot in that episode on two things. One, biodynamics. They're really passionate for it down there. And so we talked a lot about it. Mm-hmm. And talking about how much value is in that region. Everybody goes right for the Cru wines, the Chateauneuf de Pops, but the Côte d'Aron Village and the Côte d'Aron named villages are amazing. And so we talk a lot about that in the episode. And if you have no idea what I'm saying right now, then you should watch the episode because we break it all down. So we released that. We released Virginia earlier this year. I know that's your area. Yeah. We did a Virginia episode. We always try and do one domestic episode a year. And that was a really interesting one because we got to show a little bit of the history of American winemaking that pretty much started there. So that was fun. We have 18 episodes out in total. They're all for free on YouTube. It's important to me that the show is free, going back to that education component. You know, I wanted to create a product where people could learn about wine for free. So it's all free on V is for Vino YouTube. We'll come right up if you search us. We also are on some other platforms, Amazon Prime. You can watch on our website. You might see us in airports. We're in Reach TV via airports. So, you'll see it some other places.
Oh, my God. You're about to make me tear up. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? You're just like this guy that I don't know if you found me or if I found you, but I found you on, like, TikTok. And look at you. Like, you're, like, killing the game. Huh?
No, but I mean, likewise. I'm so happy because I remember when you first started creating content, and it was I made you sing the song at the beginning because I was like, oh, I love the energy, I love the vibe, I love the music. And it's cool to see our friends progress further in their journey. You know, I've had one of my camera guys started with me behind the bar. He was a bartender while I was a bartender. That's how we met. Yeah. Now he's full time doing, you know, amazing cinematography work, and I'm full time doing this. And so to see your friends come up with you is a lot of fun.
Yes. All right. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. I mean, we do have to wrap up. This 20 minutes is here. But I am so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. Of course, I'm going to have you back on. We need to have a whole Tasting Thursday is what we need to do. Okay. We need to talk.
You ever
more.
Get to Chicago? Let's do it live.
Let's do it live. Chicago
let's
over
do
there.
It live.
Now, I am about to move to Paris. And I don't know.
I know. I heard.
Okay. You heard. Oh, did I tell you that already?
Yeah, we chatted. Oh.
Okay, so I wasn't telling anybody, and then so I must have just I told you. Okay, cool. But yeah. So I don't know when this podcast is released. I might be on my way or already there. But I'll be back, and I have work in Chicago. We got to link up. I want to hug you.
So I'm saying.
I want to hug you. Well, tight.
Maybe I'll come visit you in Paris. I love Paris. I'm in France pretty often for the show.
Really gone through.
I'm stoked for you. I'm especially stoked for you because you told me you've never been, right?
I've never been.
It's incredible. It's worth the hype, Paris is.
Yeah. They say it smells like pee.
I never would have thought that in a million years.
I'm telling you, when I hear people now, it's been, and whatever, we're just going to have this tangent because it's my podcast and I do what I want. Okay. So on TikTok and Instagram, there is this, these videos that are going viral where they are trash talking Paris. Did you know?
No, I mean, unless it's been a minute since I've been there and all kind of world cities have changed a bit, but I would be shocked if it's, I mean, I got people who, friends in the industry who live there. They love it. It's going to be amazing.
Now, everyone who I know has lived in Paris or in France, they love it, right? But the people who are going to visit, they're making these videos and they're trash talking. And I'm like, man, what's going on? And then,
well, you got to go into France with a little bit of humility. So they're a very, very proud people. You got to come in attempting to speak their language a bit. Everybody gets a lot of the Parisians are rude. I've never experienced that, mm-hmm. but I really try and come in as like, hey, this is your country and I'm visiting and I don't have any expectations. Mm-hmm. And listen, there's going to be, I think too, it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies, like the reputation of the French being rude. So then you're looking for it. Because I have people who are mean in, you know, Chicago or everywhere in the world. You know,
D.C., and I have, New York, yeah. L.A. So,
nah, you'll have a great time and the people will be amazing. And, you know, every once in a while you're going to experience some rough ones, but that's just what life is.
People, everyone, humanity. We're a little rough around the edges. All right, y'all. So let's go ahead. We're going to wrap this up. I will see you. You will hear from me, everybody, on the next segment. Bye-bye. Doo-doo. I don't know about y'all, but I am feeling very inspired. Okay. You know, the road, the experience, the journey of being an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart. And guess what? Okay. It's not for everybody. It doesn't need to be for everybody. But people like me who are creatives and constantly feel out of place and constantly have these ideas and these dreams and these visions, stick to it. You know, pivot where you need to pivot. Dream where you need to dream. Be creative and flexible where you need to be creative and flexible. But the bottom line is to not give up on your vision. Yes, we got bills to pay. Yes, we got things to do. But there are options out there for you so that you can continue to go after your dreams while still paying your bills and not living in your car or on the side of the street. Amen? We all need to eat. But no matter what, again, I want to say it again for the people in the back. Without vision, people perish. So have a dream. In the words of my girl, come on. How's the song go by Nancy Wilson? You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Do, 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 do. Yes, you gotta have a dream. Live it out and go after it, all right? Without any apologies. And have no shame. Put your pride to the side, because when those failures come, you can't look at them as failures. Lessons. Pivot. Learn. You can only pivot if you are in motion. So stay in motion. Keep your dreams and know that there's always a way to make them happen. All right. Stay diligent, y'all. No playlist today, but next week we should have a playlist. I'm excited. All right. So I love y'all, and I will see y'all next week or hear from y'all next week. Y'all know, y'all, I'm used to being on live. I can't. This audible thing, child. Trying to get into it. But I love you guys, and I will see and hear from you guys next week.